This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Bill Ressler seemed like an improbable choice to coach a high school girls' basketball team. He was a middle-aged teacher of tax law at the University of Washington when he took over Roosevelt High's Rough Riders in Seattle 8 years ago. The new documentary, The Heart of the Game, tells the story of what happened with the coach and the team over the next 7 years. The film has a lot of insights into basketball and teenage girls. Coach Ressler looks like the stereotype of an accountant, but he motivates his team by telling the girls to be like a pack of wolves. Sink your teeth in their necks. Draw blood, he tells them. Here's a scene with the coach and a couple of the players.
Sink your teeth in their necks.
They're so into it that sometimes I look up in the stands at the parents of the opponents, and sometimes they're aghast and other times they're laughing, but it's so emotional that you have to respond to it some way or the other.
I've never really had anyone try to motivate me by pretending I'm an animal trying to eat someone else. You just kind of have to go with it, because if you try to understand what he's thinking, you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, he's loose and he's not wrapped tight at all. Something's wrong with him. It really is. That man is crazy.
I spoke with Coach Ressler and Devin Crosby-Helms, who was one of the team's stars during his first season. Coach, you say in the film that the girls who you were coaching, when you got there, they were uncomfortable making body contact, so you gave them contact drills. What made you realize, what made you think that they were uncomfortable making body contact?
Well, when you watch them play in practice, if they have a chance to knock somebody down, they wouldn't take that opportunity. And my view of the world is, if you're going to play against the Rough Riders, we're rough. And when you go through the key, we're going to knock you down. And they had no inclination to do so. And so I started thinking about it, I wondered why that's true. And then as I observed them, that this, the nature of teenage girls. So I had to create these drills which would force them to smash into each other. And lo and behold, unbeknownst to me, they loved doing that. It turned out to be a bonanza.
What kind of drills were they?
Well, we have one drill called Smash the Flash, where when a girl cuts across the key, that's called a flash cut. When you're defending her, as she cuts across the key, you must bury your shoulder into her chest and knock her on her back. If a foul is called on you, that's okay with me.
Devin, do you think the coach's diagnosis was correct, that the girls on your team were uncomfortable making body contact?
I think for the most part, girls do start out that way when they're, you know, younger and starting out in sports. I think I was a little bit different. I was like getting in fights and pushing people around. So I was one of the people who was like, Bill is my perfect coach because he lets me knock people over.
Now, Coach, you have a very, it's not like that you have an aggressive style, but you coach your players to be very aggressive each year. According to the movie, anyways, you have a theme built around a vicious animal like pack of wolves, pride of lions, piranhas. And you talk to, you know, the players about killing and eating the enemy. Now, I am not an athlete, as everybody who knows me will tell you.
But nor am I.
You're not?
No. Oh, no. Devin can attest to the fact that I'm not an athlete.
Well, does it make it awkward for you to coach a team when you're not an athlete?
Not at all. I have four assistant coaches, each of whom know more about basketball than I do. And so they can demonstrate the skills and so forth. And my real skill is I'm a really good typist and I'm organized. and I think Devin would agree that I'm pretty good at motivating people to work hard.
Yes, he is.
Yes, well, part of the way you motivate them is the images of killing and eating the enemy, as as I was saying. And so the point I was trying to make by confessing that I'm not athletic is that, you know, the whole idea of teaching high school students to want to, like, kill and devour their enemy. Did you have any sense of how aggressive you wanted your students to be and how much you wanted them to carry that aggression off the basketball court? You know, because people teach, like, cooperation and working together.
But cooperation doesn't preclude aggression.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a member of a team, you have an obligation to your team to be as good as you can be, and so you should aggressively pursue whatever talents you have. At the same time, you aggressively pursue that your teammates will do the same. And so I try to encourage my students at the University of Washington, as well as the basketball players at Roosevelt, to work together as a team, be good sports, but at all times own your own turf.
Devin, there's a scene in the movie where you're saying, you know, war is fun. That's what I live for the hunt, for the kill. And you're talking about how much you like the more aggressive parts of basketball. Did you become more aggressive when Coach Ressler took over the team?
I think the way he motivated really fit into it, kind of naturally brought out my aggressive side. It really cultivated that. It gave me a way of saying it in a way that, you know, other people were on board with. So when I say sink your teeth in their neck, I'm not a crazy person. I'm just one of the girls. And I really liked that. So it made me feel that my personality fit in with a bigger group, which was actually really nice for me.
Devin, at some point you started working with a private coach who had a reputation for helping students get scholarships to college. And judging from the movie, it sounds like he at some point was giving you different advice than Coach Ressler was, and that caused some tension between the two of you?
The first time I saw the movie, I kind of laughed because it shows me yelling at Bill about something, and it said, we were falling out and we hated each other or whatever. And I don't really, at least from my opinion, I don't think I ever got to a point where Bill and I had that much tension. I was being given different advice. I was being told I should be the star of the team. And, you know, I was a senior in high school and I had a little bit too much confidence. And so I was like, yeah, I should be the star of the team. But I also, because I had known Bill for so long, I really wanted to be that star, but within the team, within what he was putting in front of us. And I thought that was possible. And I had a lot of factors in my life at that point, and it just kind of made me a little bit hard to deal with. Mm-hmm.
But, Devin, I have to tell you that one of my best days of my life was the day you came into my office and revealed all that had gone on, and I saw how healthy you had become. I mean, I have probably told 100 people that that's one of the best days of my life, because that's really when you and my friendship reunited, and now it's a lifelong thing.
I agree.
I think I know what you're referring to there, and tell me if I'm wrong. The movie describes how this private coach that Devin, you were working with, was actually taking advantage of you sexually and was doing the same thing with other girls that he was coaching. You finally went public, pressed charges, and he was sentenced to 40 months. Coach Ressler, is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Devin, how did you decide to tell the coach about it?
The reason why I came forward is because I wanted it to end with me. I knew that there had been victims before me, but I realized I had gotten to a place where, you know, I knew it was going to continue happening, and I had seen somebody that I really cared about being taken advantage of, and I wanted to protect that person, and so it was kind of an altruistic thing. I was like, I want to protect somebody else. It's too late for me to protect myself, but I can make it stop now. And I also know that and actually part of this came out of a conversation with Bill, is that I'm one of the lucky ones because I'm facing it now at this point in my life. And I think I was, you know, 20 or something when I decided to come forward. So I'm able to now at 24 have that be a book on the shelf, have that be something that happened to me in my life, but not rule my life. And so when I decided to tell Bill, it was after I'd gone to the police. But, Bill had always been there for me, even when I was trying to, you know, punch him and kick him and, you know, metaphorically speaking, and push him away. He didn't really let me do that.
So are you still playing? Is that over?
I do other sports now. I do play basketball occasionally when I can. I would love to get more involved, and I do miss it. But I have kind of taken up other things that I do love, and you know, that's really exciting for me because I do have other talents, thankfully.
Like what?
I'm a marathon runner. And so I ran my first one just over a year ago, and I'm pretty crazy about them now. And I've run 3 total, and I just adore it. And I'm pretty good at it, so that's always nice.
Well, Devin, thanks for joining us for this part of the interview. And congratulations on your part in the new movie.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you again, Devin.
It's lovely seeing you, as always, Bill. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My guest is Bill Ressler, the coach of the Rough Riders, the girls' basketball team at Roosevelt High in Seattle. He and the team are the subject of the new documentary, The Heart of the Game. Here's the coach in a scene from the film.
One of the things that really makes coaching fun is when you tell teenagers, go do ABC. And they'll look at you and say, yes, we're going to go do ABC. And they're excited about ABC. And 5 seconds later, you watch them do XYZ. And sometimes I'll ask them, why did you do XYZ? And they never have an answer. They always look at you like, why would you ask a question like that?
Coach Ressler, another student who's prominently featured in the film The Heart of the Game is Darnelia Russell. And she's a terrific player. And we see her come to Roosevelt High from a middle school from a very different community. She's African American. Roosevelt is a very, or at least predominantly, white school. It's a much more affluent school than the school that she came from. And she was having a hard time adjusting. What are some of the things you did to help her adjust?
Well, first of all, every ninth grader has trouble adjusting. And I feel that one of my responsibilities with all the coaches is we have to find a way to get these kids more comfortable, because the whole point of this is education. And so in Darnia's case, it was just multiplied by 10. And my approach with her, as with others, is I get her involved with another player on the team and I tease them. And so I might say to Darnia, who's more stupid, you or Betsy? And they learn they have to confront with me and deal with what I'm up to. And over time, they eventually find out that they can defeat me because my questions are usually silly. Also, I had a lot of conversations with her and her mom at her house and also at Roosevelt, just explaining how things work. But it's a slow process, and every ninth grader has a nightmare time. And by the time they're seniors, I just sit back and smile at the progress and how much they grow up.
Darnelia became pregnant in, was it her junior year?
Yes.
And she had to take some time off. And then when she wanted to return to the team, she was deemed ineligible to play. Would you explain why?
The first time she was ruled ineligible was because she didn't have enough credits. So when you become a senior, you have to have a certain number of credits. And she didn't have enough credits because she dropped out of school because her pregnancy was so rough on her. She had very, very brutal morning sickness. So she tried to come back, and they wouldn't let her. So now she's going into her fifth year, and she and I sat down, and I said, you can get your GED and go to community college, or you can get your high school degree. Both are great paths to a future. What do you want to do? And a couple of days later, she came back and said she wanted to get her high school degree, and then she wanted to go to a four-year college. So she came back to school and really got her act together, much better grades and so forth. And now the WIAA declared her ineligible because to play a fifth year, even though it's her fourth year, you have to demonstrate a hardship. And they felt that being pregnant was not a hardship.
And the WIAA is?
They're the ruling body in the state of Washington that controls athletics.
So she was deemed ineligible to play, and she challenged that, took it to the court, actually. And
I knew of a lawyer named Ken Luce who had sued the WIAA before. And I called him up and I gave him the facts, and he said, is she a good kid? And I said, I have a moral duty to help her graduate from college. And upon hearing that, he made the decision that the legal fee he would charge her would be that someday she must do a favor for a kid the same as he is doing for her.
And while that, if I have my chronology straight, while that case was going on, she continued to play on your team in spite of the fact that she was officially ruled ineligible. You were banking on the fact that she would win in court, but you were taking a risk.
Actually, that's not true.
Okay.
I wasn't banking on anything. My view of the world is if we forfeited the whole season, that would be okay with me. Because the life lesson those girls got when they went into that inner circle meeting and made the decision that they're willing to forfeit the entire season so that Darnelia can be seen by college coaches, what more could I ever teach them? I mean, they taught themselves a lesson that I certainly didn't know at that age.
What was the outcome of the court case?
The court case was the judge made an injunction against the WIAA. So they could not enforce their order against Roosevelt, which allowed Darnelia to play. This did not stop them from declaring her ineligible. They could have still gone to trial if they wanted to. It's just that after we won the state championship, 2 days later, they gave up their lawsuit.
Is she still playing? This was a few years ago. Is she still playing?
She's just finishing her second year at North Seattle Community College, and she was named the Northwest Player of the Year 2 years in a row. And she's going to go in for surgery on her knee. She's got some meniscus problems, which will knock her out for about 3 months. But she plays daily, and her plan is to go to a four-year school. And whichever four-year school ends up choosing her, they have just won the lottery. Because Darnelia, a magnificent player, true, but what her real skill is, she brings her teammates up. In practice, I do a lot of three-on-three work, and I'll put Darnelia with the 14th and 15th best player on the varsity and put them against 2, 3, 4 on the team. Darnelia's team never loses because 14 and 15 become 7 and 8 because they will not let her down. She never yells at anybody. She does have the ability to stare at you in a way that would convince you you better alter what you're doing. But they love her so much that they will raise their game for Darnelia.
How's Darnelia doing as a mother now, do you know?
She's a fabulous mother. Darnelia and the father are still together. They've been boyfriend-girlfriend since seventh grade. And Sequoia, the father, is just a sweetheart of a guy, very kind-hearted, sweet soul. And when I watch the way Sequoia and Darnelia raise Trakayla, I consider them model parents. And Trakayla is maybe the most loved person I've ever seen. And I always tease Darnelia that, okay, Darnelia, you're all famous because you're in a movie, but Trakayla is going to outstrip you because she's just a colossally cool kid. Smart, energetic, loves to laugh, and every bit as athletic as Darnelia.
Do you feel that in coaching girls high school basketball that you've learned a lot about what it means to be a girl teenager today and some of the things that girls are up against?
I have learned a lot, but it would be a huge overstatement to say that I understand what it's like to be a teenage girl. I can't even remember what it's like to be a teenage boy. We were just in a tournament this last weekend, and if we didn't win a game, we would not qualify for the championship game. We had a lot of young girls on the team there that really hadn't gotten to play very much. And at halftime, I asked the seniors, what do you want to do? Do you want to play those girls, or do you want to go and try to win the game? And the girls said, this is the summer. Let's have fun. Let every girl on the team have fun. So we played everybody, and it turned out we didn't qualify. But another life lesson the girls taught to me. I mean, I don't really believe in winning and losing, and I preach that often. But the girls came to me with the choice, let's have fun. And I know I will learn forever from those teenagers.
Now, it's funny, you know, you made that choice in the period that's covered by the documentary, The Heart of the Game, and it's like a championship game. It's the end of the season. And you decide to play every player, including the players who haven't played much during the earlier part of the season, the players who aren't as good. Now, you win anyways, but you were taking a big chance there by insisting on playing everyone.
I must say I was a bit frightened here and there when those freshmen were in the game. And if we had lost that game, there'd still be adults mad at me, even though that happened 3 years ago. But on the other hand, you can't take my crayons away from me. Whether we win or lose that game isn't going to change my life. But I certainly felt that when those girls unanimously supported Darnelia, that I had a moral duty to support them. And there's nothing that could have taken me off that course.
Are there things that you prefer about girls' high school basketball over boys?
Well, I raised three daughters, so I have a more of a comfort zone teaching young gals over young guys. But I will say this, that I really enjoy teaching girls to be more selfish. They come in, their basic mentality is, let me give the ball up to my teammate. And trying to teach them that they are important and people must rely on you as much as you relying on others is a great educational process. I raised my three daughters under the theory that sexism will not be gone when they're adults, and I want them to be able to control their territory and take their own life over. And I have three really confident, amazing daughters, and I want every one of those Rough Rider girls to be the same way, and that is, I own my area. I will share it with you. We can work as a team, but don't you try to knock me out of my area. It's not going to happen.
What what impact has this movie, The Heart of the Game, this documentary, had on you personally and on your team?
On the team, the girls are just excited that they're in a movie. For me personally, it's really had two major effects. Number one, about 10 years ago, a friend of mine told me that I should write a book about the way I think about the world. And this movie has caused me to do so. So I've written a book called The Heart of the Team, which basically is the life lessons that are inside the movie that aren't exactly covered by the movie. The other thing that it has done is I've had to fess up and admit that I'm an oddball.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I see the audience laughing at things I'm doing that I think are normal. And, you know, I know I don't walk down the center of the path, that I kind of wander around, but the movie has demonstrated that I might not even be on the path at all. And I never really thought of myself that way until I saw audience reactions to my personality.
So you never thought of yourself as at all idiosyncratic before?
Not really. I knew I was off kilter and that I took more risks than some people do, but I didn't realize I was this big an outlier.
Now, are you still teaching at the University of Washington?
Yes, I am. That is my passion. People ask me, what if you got a college job because of this movie, a college coaching job? And my view of that is, no, I love teaching tax at the University of Washington. I have great students who motivate me and challenge me daily.
And is this tax law, or what kind of tax is this?
Tax law.
Tax law.
It's in the School of Business, but it is tax law.
People don't usually think of tax law as like the sexiest, most exciting law.
I can't believe people would be so short-sighted. Actually, tax law, you either hate it or love it. And the reason I love it and the reason my students love it is once you get inside of it, you realize how crazy it is. No thinking human being would have drafted the Internal Revenue Code the way it's currently drafted. There's so many sick little twists and turns and tax reasoning that I truly enjoy trying to chase it down. And some areas of tax law, like partnership taxation, the more I study it, the less I know. And I like living in a land that's kind of uncertain.
Let me ask you a question. If this is too personal, you just tell me. How old are you now?
I'm 61.
Okay. So you're in your 60s. You're certainly at the age where your body slows down.
You didn't have to move
bit.
From 61 to in the 60s. You know, you kind of moved me forward about 5 years there.
But anyway, so you're certainly at an age where, you know, physically you're slowing down. Does it? Do you feel any more or less old or slowing down being in the constant presence of girls who don't get any older? You know, you're always in the presence of high school girls. And as the girls get older,
college,
they leave and you're in the presence of new high school girls.
Yeah, my college students and my high school students are the same age constantly. And the movie does point out, and you film me over 8 years, that I did get older. My hair color changes, the baldness increases, and so forth. But I look out of my eyes with 12-year-old eyes. And I have bone spurs in my heels, so I can't play basketball anymore. But in terms of who I am, I'm still 12 years old, maybe younger. And so I consider my life to be just brand new every day.
Did you ever play basketball?
I did play basketball, and I was extremely bad at it. I have the gift of incredible slowness, and basketball requires quickness. I played basketball 8 hours a day, 7 days a week from about age 9 on at a basket right near my parents' home. And I played it and loved it and went after it and never made an organized team. I was always cut from whatever team I turned out for. And at Franklin High School here in Seattle, I argued my way back onto the team, and the coach cut me again. I argued my way back onto the team, and then a week later, Coach Ahern said, Bill, you're just not an athlete. I really feel bad. And about 4 years ago, there was an article in the paper about the movie, and I recounted this story, and I ran into Coach Ahern at a basketball game, and he woke up, and he shook my hand and said, Bill, I'm so sorry I cut you. And it's so great 40 years later, because having cut girls in my career, there's nothing worse. They always cry, and I always cry. And so I was feeling Coach Ahern's pain.
Do you actually cry?
Yes. I go home, and I cry a lot. And nobody would ever want to be around me on that night because I'm in such a foul mood that I'm not a human being during that night because it's just so dreadful when you have to say to a gal who's got all these hopes and dreams in front of her that there's no place for her on the team at Roosevelt. It's just purely awful.
Well, Bill Ressler, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. This has been fun.
That big girl must be double-teamed before she gets the ball. Okay? Before she gets the ball. As soon as we get the ball, everybody scream timeout. Okay? Because it's noisy in here and the ref's hard of hearing in one of his ears. So you must scream timeout. And then I'll give you incredible words of wisdom. Okay?
Coach Bill Ressler is at the center of the new documentary, The Heart of the Game, about the girls' basketball team at Roosevelt High School in Seattle.